Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
I've prepared the set of notes, most of it today, and one that I had prepared already that I've simply slotted in here. But I want to just work through it together with you. It concerns helping practically in the work of the Lord. Now, on my website, there are 14 sessions of audios under the heading Strengthen Yourself by Strengthening Your Leader. Okay? And I would strongly advise you that you revisit that. I taught 8 here, and I've added the other 6 from audio recordings in places globally wherever I've ministered. And the balance of those 6, you've heard 8. Some of it is new stuff, some I hadn't had occasion even to teach here as yet. But the principle attendant with that series is basic, that when you help your leader, you're helping yourself. It's a simple thing. David's mighty men strongly supported David, and in the process, they strengthened them. They strengthened themselves. So the principle is, as you provide, based upon a revelation that is brought to you of what your leader represents and the purposes of God attendant with him, it's born out of a revelation. I can't recruit help like a recruiter and say, come and help me, when you have not come to the revelation of what we are doing in terms of the purposes of the Lord. Okay? Are you all with me? Okay? So, Pastor Thamo does need to remind me twice about a thing. In fact, I help in areas when I'm not required or asked to help based upon my revelation of what he represents and the purposes of God attended with him. Now please watch. And the truth that I know that as I help him, guess what? I'm receiving grace. Okay? Now that is a revelation. Everyone say revelation. Right? So if you know my style of leadership, I don't beg a person to do anything. If I see a person stand aloof or away from what should be done, I won't come to you and say, won't you do it? Because then you're responding externally to an external command. I would rather prefer you respond born out of a revelation of a truth. Then I know you'll never need oversight in that matter again, because it's born out of discernment as to what is at stake. You must remember, for those of you that done the Hebron series, we did it a few years ago in the church. David did not take Zion. Remember? He lived in Hebron for 7.5 years. Zion was the place where he would rule the kingdom for 33 years as king. But Zion would be the last outpost, as it were, the last city he would have to conquer from which he would have to rule. He took Hebron, lived there for 7.5 years, and all he said was to his men, now there's Zion. Which of you will go and take it? And the lame and the blind were there, remember? And David's soul, the scripture says, loathed the lame and the blind. Joab stepped forward, remember? And he led the assault down a water shaft into the city. And he neutralized and he captured the stronghold for David. When David saw that, the scripture says, and David made him captains or head of the captain of the army. The point is, everyone say initiative. Initiative is something I can't teach you. You either have it or you don't have it. Right? So watch, David presented the problem to his men. He has something to be taken. Who will go up? Could David do it? He had enough military prowess, skill, and the purposes of the Lord attendant with his life to take it. But what does he do as a leader? What was he checking? He was checking which of his men have come to the realization of what Zion represents, what he represents, of what God's purposes attendant with his kingship represents. And Joab knew. And so watch, when Joab steps forward, it's not just like, well, he has a gap for me to demonstrate my military prowess. His motive is, I need to support David. I need to secure a stronghold for David to rule for 33 years. So I step up to the plate, and God helped him, right? And he secures a major strategic stronghold, a major development in David's journey to kingship was secured by Joab in that respect. In that respect, listen carefully. Again, I want to say it for repetition's sake. I'm not going to force anybody to do anything. I think we've journeyed too long for that. You're either here or you are not here. I'm going to be frank tonight, okay? Can I be frank tonight? I told you on Sunday about how our Father disciplines children. Now it's your test, and I would say to you, do not be offended by some of the things I have to say today. Right? This is going to be your test of everything we taught on Sunday, okay? Now, listen carefully. Look at the note on page 1 at the bottom there. Acts chapter 6 from verse 1 to 8, I want to read together with you. I'm saying this because we need to go to a higher stronghold. It's like we've been camping at Hebron, but we need to go to Zion. We need to a place of rulership, domination in our jurisdiction that God has given to us, but is going to demand a certain mentality and a certain rigor, a certain excellence, a certain protocol, a certain arrangement in the army if we are going to rule from that place. I said this at the prayer meeting last week, that we're in a brand new phase, but we cannot carry old mindsets into the new phase. Everything has to change. I've upgraded everything, even my office, my the time I start working. As soon as the kids are gone, if I or Renee drop the kids, if she goes, I'm starting work at 7 o'clock. I'm in there busy working, right? And I work excessively long. The other day, MNY, our tax consultants, wanted my leave register. They wanted to see my leave register. So I had to explain to the secretary, I don't keep a leave register because the register won't accommodate what I do. You know, because there's literally no days off, even a Saturday. Jules came to work on a Saturday. We worked the entire day. I was busy with various things relative to preparation. I'm saying everything has gone up a notch. And I'm appealing to the house. We all must go up a notch in terms of commitment and sacrifice. Okay? Every new level, there's a new devil. But with every new level, there's a new sacrifice. Okay? So Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac. And when he went through the intention to sacrifice Isaac and God stopped him, God said to him, now I know what's in your heart. See, indeed, I will surely bless you. I did promise him before, he will bless you, but he says now, see, indeed, I will surely bless you. If Abraham is to go to the next level, it's going to demand a more painful sacrifice. Now take your son. Take your only son whom you love. In Genesis 15, he's sacrificing doves and pigeons. But in Genesis 22, he's sacrificing a son because he's going to the next level. You'll never go to the next level in anything in God if you're not prepared to make the requisite sacrifice. And that sacrifice for you, even in financial terms, could be money, could be time, could be any costly expression of obedience associated with pleasing God. Okay? So it's a new season. It's a new level. Look at Acts 6, verse 1 to 8. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews about native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of the food. So the 12, that's the 12 apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God just to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, Select among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we, everyone say, but we. So they separate themselves from certain activity. They say, but we will devote ourselves to two things, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Now here's the result I want. Everyone say, the word of God kept spreading. Now, if you look at that result, that was the threat. Right? The threat was, the satanic threat was to stop the word spreading. So, how does the enemy, if he cannot directly oppose the work of God, for whatever reason, there is tremendous growth. Look at the first verse. Everyone say the number of the disciples were increasing. Yeah? What's that? That's growth, right? But you know, every time you enter a new phase, that's a new phase. Growth in itself represents challenges. Right? You don't need to be opposed by Satan to be challenged. A blessing from God upon you can represent a challenge to you. Watch, listen carefully. Can represent a challenge to you such that it opposes the very intent of God why you are growing. Okay? So watch here. The disciples are growing. So growth in numbers presented a management problem. Growth in numbers presented an administration problem. The problem was certain Jews, certain widows were being neglected in the daily ministration of food. And they complained. So a problem arose, and they brought the case to the 12 apostles who were presiding at Jerusalem. Right? So the apostles, I can just see them. Just picture 12 men. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, the works. They're all standing. And the problem of growth that growth presented is brought to them. And you know what their conclusion is? They say, this is not the devil. This is a good thing. A good thing has caused a problem, but we will not allow the blessing of God, which has brought problems along with it, managerially and administratively, to seduce us away from our primary calling. Our primary calling is what? What did they say? We will give ourselves to prayer and to the word, the ministry of the word. So what they are saying, we will not allow a managerial, administrative, practical issue to sidetrack us in terms of our energy, our commitment, and devotion to see to that thing when our primary calling is the word, grace, and prayer. Not so? Come on, are you all with me? Come on, please track with me. Don't get lost now. This is going to be a very important session. Right? We've had the leadership development session with Dr. Segi and James Mbugua, right? And I came away from that conference with this. I need to delegate more. Listen carefully. Now, I want to be very candid here because we are family. Literally, I am doing too much. I'm literally doing things I should not be touching. I should not be touching managerially, practically. My focus should be one thing at this. We're in our 13th year, brethren, as a ministry. But there are still some things I am doing that I should not even be thinking about. I should come to the service not worried that is it taken care of? Will the person in charge be there? Is it done or is it not done? What I'm doing is I'm focusing on practical, managerial, and administrative things of a normal routine nature. And you know what it's doing to me? It's diluting the grace that I could give to you. Because my energies and my mind and my thinking is all over the place. And while God is still being blessing us, I'm saying to the house, You don't know what you could get if I'm released more to focus more on what I should be singularly focusing on, which is the word and prayer. Okay? Now, we've got to get this right. Tell someone we've got to get this right. If you were with these apostles, I know some immature, offended brethren would say, how? Look at these proud apostles. Don't want to touch tables. No, it's not that they were not humble enough to serve widows. They were, yeah, is a principle that we will not allow. And let me just say this to you. There's now two new families joining the house because of our movement here. And probably we envisage as we go into next year, there will be others. Now, guess what? Growth will cause natural problems administratively. So I'm appealing to you as your father in Christ. Like Elisha washed the hands of Elijah, I need my hands washed to a greater degree than what presently persists. These things I've taught, like I say, in 8 sessions, in strengthen your leader, you strengthen yourself. But you see, we've got the theory of it, but many of us haven't incarnated the word into practice. Okay? So the word must become flesh in your flesh. Okay? So this is very, very important. So the word of God kept spreading, and the number of this is what I like. Look at that last bit. The word of God kept spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. Look at verse 1 at the top. It says, the disciples were increasing in number. Potential problem. Apostles, instead of getting their hands dirty, say, no, we step back because the preeminent need is not serving tables, is the dispensing of grace through the word. And listen, please catch this. If you focus on that, guess what? The numbers will still increase. Not because of the thing was sought to administratively, but there was sufficient grace in the apostles to bring about that result. Can you get it? I'm saying if just this group, there are quite a few of us here, if just you catch this, I'm saying by the end of January next year, this group, this entire group could be doubled. It's not going to double because you are clinically, managerially, administratively sound. It's going to double because of the grace of God dispensed in the place. I'm saying to you, there's a stifling of that grace or the degree to which it could be imparted by virtue of various things. And I'm saying if we all just step up to the plates, the grace allocation goes and the number of the disciples increase. Okay? Very, very important for you to catch. Now, everyone says 7 men. So they chose 7, not 8, 9, 10, 3, 4. Why 7? The number 7, you can see there, represents at least 3 things. Okay? A corporate company with the mentality of the 7-man principle. Now, here I must give a call to Ralph Elia. Ralph Elia shared some of these thoughts with me about 2 or 3 months ago. And I accessed a document where he taught a study of what he called the 7-man principle based upon this passage. And so he said the following. It's not, yes, it was 7 distinct men, but for us, looking back at what happened to them, it's they, 7 of them represent a principle. It's the 7, you call it the 7 company principle. So, you see, 7 men took care of the practical things, 7 of them. They had to be men of good reputation, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. Now think about it. You think you've been full of the Holy Ghost for spiritual ministry. In the New Testament, you had to be full of the Holy Ghost to serve tables. Right? There were serious spiritual requirements for practical issues. Right? So what I'm saying is, it's like there's a vacancy, let's just go and do it. I'm saying to you, be prepared to help. but you do it from a particular disposition in the Spirit. Full with the Holy Ghost, filled with wisdom, right? Men of good reputation, that means your character, your integrity is in place, and you're serving tables. This is the first New Testament account of the first set of deacons that were appointed in Scripture, okay? So we look back at them as deacons, but I'm applying it generally to anybody, listen carefully, that wants to help apostolic work. You got 12 apostles who are representative of apostolic work or vision. We don't want the apostolic work to be stifled, so we will create structure. Everyone say structure. It's a word that Pastor Damo uses often. We will create the structure so that apostolic grace can flow unimpededly, effortlessly. Okay? Now, you watch every good leader. For example, you won't see Pastor Damo get involved in anything practical. He's totally fixated on the word. Everything is managed. Stuff is taken care of without his direct involvement. People are appointed, etc. And this singular focus is the word, prayer, and the grace impartation. And guess what? Results are gotten because of the strength of the grace impartation. When it's not diluted, okay? Now, like I say, my mind is here, there, and everywhere on a typical Sunday morning, for example. It's all over the place. And then time for ministry, must quickly regroup and now focus on my preeminent task, which is the word and grace impartation. And I'm saying to the house, if that dynamic could be enhanced by more active support of practical issues, you are going to be the more enriched. And others will come. But you know what? God will honor a place where there is honor for his servant. Basically put, right? If you honor me by the correct mindset, and that is to say, you are called, I'm your son. I know the principles, you taught us extensively, but now I'm going to put my hands to the work. Let me just say this to you. Wherever there's honor in a place, God's grace flows powerfully. Yeah? For when God is honored in his servant, he will honor those people with his presence, his power, his provision. But where dishonor is in place, what you will see is God step back because he is dishonored when his servant is dishonored. Okay? The Bible says Jesus could do no major works in Nazareth. Nazareth was where he grew up because the Bible thought that the people say of him, he's Mary's son, he's Joseph's boy. And he even said, listen carefully, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. He has a sad part of that scripture, and he could not do any mighty works there. Mighty works are always stifled where his servant is dishonored in any way. And I want to challenge all of us. Your honor, you know, there's certain things I've overlooked, but now I'm gonna address it forthrightly, and you must test your sense of loyalty, right? Your sense of commitment. The Lord said this to me, in some respect, you've permitted dishonor, so I can't work when you are dishonored, when you've permitted certain expressions of it. So now the Lord says, now sort the honor out and see what I will do, all right? If you are honored, I am honored in you, okay? Now you would think that the 12 apostles are these guys. You might think, wow, what pride. You want to serve tables. No, no, no. In my note, this is how I wrote it here. They were not prepared, listen carefully to the words I wrote here, to be seduced away from their primary calling. You see, a need, however valid, is not necessarily your call, at least in reference to what I'm talking about tonight, my call, okay? So I have to be devoted. This is my mindset going forward. Our coming year, we shut down one era from Durban Road Conference, and we now hear this. This signals a new era. And I'm saying to the house that this is a new era even for me. I have to not be seduced to take care of certain activities and then dilute my primary emphasis, which should be the word and prayer. What I'm saying is this. Look at this word. The word of God kept spreading. Say it with me. The word of God kept spreading. I'm saying to you, that was the challenge here. The problem was hitting against stopping the word spreading. And if the apostles if they complied, let's say, to pressure to vacate their preeminent preoccupation and serve tables, they would have diluted the apostolic grace. And you would not have gotten this end result. Okay? So it's the seven-man company is a corporate company. B, it's personnel that essentially manage practical or administrative issues within an apostolic environment. It also represents active support for apostles and apostolic work. But just generally, this is stuff I've added on to this. When you think of the word seven, what does seven denote in the Bible? Perfection and rest, right? Because God rested on the seventh day. The seventh day, nothing was done in the seventh day. The Bible says God entered into his rest. And you and I are required to work from a position of rest. When you work from a position of rest, please just listen carefully. I have four teachings on the topic of rest. You'll find it it's headed The Prosperity of the Soul on my website. There are four segments where I discuss what spiritual rest is. There are about seven or eight principles, but one of them is this, relative to rest. If I'm in rest, I don't work by perspiration to get a result. I work by principle to get a result. Right? So, the law of gravity says, if I drop something, is it going up to the roof or going down? Down. If I drop your pen, which way is it going? Oh, it works, right? But do you think God, God is sitting there at the edge of his seat saying, ooh, Randall's about to drop the pen. I better make sure it goes down and not up. Is God thinking like that? What does he established a law, a principle that says if a certain action is ignited, that's the result. So point is, God is cool. Oh, he's not at all perplexed. Ooh, a pin's about to be dropped somewhere on the earth in UKZN. I must quickly ensure that I go there and make sure it drops. No. What? The principle ensures the result, so God stays in rest. Point is, if you access the principle, you don't perspire or work to attain the result. So working by principle gets you into rest. So the seven men that were chosen represent a seven-man principle depictive of the rest of God. So the apostles remain in rest in reference to what God called them to do, because those seven men created a structure where principles were applied that made the grace of God flow efficaciously, okay, freely, unimpededly. You must never, ever underestimate the quality or the mood of a man's spirit, especially if that man's your leader. If you can bring his spirit into rest and he ministers the word of the Lord to you from a place of rest, guess what? You'll be the more, and benefited. More rested and benefited. Right? I think it was Elisha whose spirit was distraught because of the king of Israel who came to visit him. Because the king of Israel was wicked, not so? And there was an exchange. I won't go through the details because of time. But after that, the scripture says, and Elisha's spirit was distraught. And then he was called upon to prophesy, and he couldn't. Is he a prophet? Yes. Why can't he prophesy? The mood of his spirit, angry at the wicked king. So what does he say? Get me a minstrel. Bring a musician. And the Bible says, and they brought a minstrel. The Bible says, and he began to play. And the Bible says, and as the minstrel played, Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah. And he said, now thus saith the Lord. What? He's back in action now, right? The music calmed his spirit, brought him back into a place of rest, and the prophetic gift started to flow. Okay? Now, I want to challenge all of you. If you can bring me more rested, things will start to flow that will amaze you. All right? Right now, I'm too agitated, to be honest, in the fabric of my spirit. Too, my mind is here, there, everywhere. And then I must focus on now the right spirit to deliver the word of the Lord. Okay? That shouldn't be the case in a household of faith. There will always be challenges. But I'm saying if we can get this right to the next degree, then I'm telling you, you have no idea of what could possibly flow. Then you will be the greatest beneficiaries of this. If you look on page 2, this is what the 7 names mean of the 7 individuals. Stephen means wreath or crown. What do you think? That's rulership, not so? Rulership. And depending, I don't have time to do this teaching thoroughly. The Bible says, for example, athletes, Paul says, he who runs in the games must run according to the rules so that he can be crowned. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Everyone say, run according to the rules. So, and he uses a picture of an athlete. Now, if you're running an athlete, like athletics race on a track race, you must stay in your lane. So you see at the bottom there, the bottom set where it's got the implication of this is, when you think of, yes, it's Stephen means crowned, but athletes are crowned if they compete according to the rules. So when we think of Stephen, we think of one who stays in his lane. Right? Look at the next guy. Philip means a lover of horses or a warrior. Love of horses or a warrior. And in Scripture, horses are used as battle implements to do warfare or to wage warfare in battle and to overcome and succeed. Okay? So at the bottom, the implication of Philip is that get battle ready like a horse for war. Listen carefully. These were 7 men. All I'm doing is their names tell me the disposition of the men. That's what we want. In this 7-man company, tell someone stay in your lane. Tell someone get battle ready. We after the qualities that should be within a group of men that know how to handle managerial, administrative issues so that the grace of God can flow efficaciously. Okay? Tell your neighbor we're in a war. Right? When you're in a war, you can't be nonchalant. You can't be things persist as per usual. In a war, warriors have a specific mindset. Okay? If you look at the third guy quickly, Prochorus. Prochorus literally means he who presides over the choir, leading a chorus or dance. A leader of singers. Many prochoruses here, right? In this group. Now, literally, when people sing in company, they like alto, tenor, bass, soprano, all sing different voices, but they harmonize. So it's a picture of oneness. So at the bottom there, you see prochorus literally implies coming into harmonious oneness, okay? So, Nicanor at the top means conqueror, victorious, I conquer, untimely victory. So the implication of his name means to have a conquering mentality. Everyone say, we shall conquer. We shall conquer. Come on, tell your neighbor, we shall conquer. We shall conquer. Right? There might be major challenges we'll have to face. But I'm saying to you by the Spirit, Gate Ministries, Durban Central, is going to be known for its conquering disposition. Of which you are part of. Okay? Now please tell someone, you shall conquer. That's a mentality amongst the 7. Right? Is we are going to overcome. We're not going to be defeated. Okay? Next is Timon. And Timon means honorable. Deemed worthy. So the implication of Timon below is to show honor. Parmenas means standing firm. I like this guy. Standing firm, faithful, and to abide. So the implication is one who faithfully abides as a son in the house. You must have read it this week or last week. John 8:35. A slave doesn't abide in the house. But what did Jesus say? But a son abides in the house for forever. So Parmenas, he who is faithful, standing firm, he who abides, he who remains, is the picture of immovable faithfulness. Right? Such must be your disposition. Nicholas means a conqueror of the people as a whole, corporate conquering of a whole corporate group of people. And so spiritually, it denotes he who leads people in victorious, overcoming living. Okay? So if you look at that heading where it says, here is what the names imply. I'm going to read it together. We as a corporate house will enter into greater perfection and rest. That's seven, not so? Perfection and rest. When? With the accompanying victory in the purposes for which God has called us to. When? When? Number one, when we stay in our lanes. Everyone say, stay in your lane. Say, get battle ready like a horse for war. Come into oneness. Have a conquering mentality. Show honor. Faithfully abide as sons in the house. And lead people in victorious and overcoming living. Now, when the apostles chose seven men, spiritually, qualitatively, symbolically, that seven men represented all of these qualities. And guess what? And the number of the disciples kept increasing. And the word of the Lord kept spreading. Say this after me. The word of the Lord kept spreading. That's my heart. I want the word to grow proliferally. Thamo often says it must go visible and viral. But it demands a specific mindset. It demands a specific structure for this to take place. And I pray as you go home today that you ask yourself, am I a seven-man company? Am I a seven-man principle? Are these qualities within my life? Are they there permanently? Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to engage now. I'm going to be becoming pretty practical. To offer your services in certain practical dimensions of help. Everyone say help. Help, where you're going to literally serve tables. And you please remember, you know, if I am not asking any of you to do anything that I haven't walked. I've got the stripes. I've got the certificate. I've been there, done that. If God hadn't called me to this, I would gladly sit where you are and do what I expect you to do. I would exchange it tomorrow and say, let me do that. Right? All I'm saying is get the revelation of it. Tell someone, get the revelation. Right? Now, how must you do it? Here's my point. Colossians 3, verse 6, 17. Whatever. Everyone say whatever. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If you're required to do a specific task, you must say, Lord, I'm doing this, whatever I'm doing in your name. And I'm doing it with gratitude, not with complaint. Because the next verse, Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining. Let me just say this. The moment you've complained, you've lost your reward. You never do anything in God's service with complaint or with dispute or arguing. You do it with the gladness of heart. Because God sees a man's heart. Okay? And the motivation why you do the things that you do. I love this text in 1 Peter 4:9. It says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Without complaint, okay? Don't complain. Each one has received a special gift. Tell the person next to you, you have a special gift. Let me just say this to you. There's so many gifted people in this one room amongst just those of us who are here this evening. There are gifts galore scattered throughout this corporate company. And I'm saying if each one just brings his to the fore, you, listen carefully to context, be hospitable. To be hospitable means you're going to host someone at your party, at your home. That's practically, but listen carefully. This is suggesting when you exercise your gift, you are hosting the church. to bless them, to empower them. Right? The exercise of a gift is the hosting of another to bless them. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do as one serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, etc. Okay. Now if you turn over the page, areas of responsibility. I want to go through a list of needs we've identified in the local church. Okay. And what we have certain people in mind to occupy certain responsibilities. But also, if as I go through this, you perceive that you could be helpful in any one or more areas, I want to please encourage you to speak to Renee about this, and we will slot you in. So here's a list of certain areas of responsibility. Okay, for the time being, for example, the first issue is a basic thing like road signs. Okay, we've had some made, and we're getting the steel frames done now the next 2 days. I will have it by Friday, the guy said. You know the frames, the typical estate agent frames, just slot them in. I had to use a hammer on Sunday because I had to literally make two poles because those steel frames weren't ready in time. So it won't be that strenuous, okay? Don't be put off by that photo you saw me with. It won't be that bad. All you're going to do is take it, zoop, back in your car, and you're gone. But we need someone to take charge of the signs. You will keep them with you in your car. When you come, which is early, because signs must be there before people, right? Obviously, I mean, right? Which is earlier than most, you're going to drive in and just put four signs, I will tell you where, in strategic places so that people find the building easier, especially visitors. Okay? So there's four signs. You will take responsibility for those signs. Keep it with you all the time and look after them. Okay? So that there's that option, okay? I'm saying to you, I'm not saying, Joab, take Zion. David is saying, there's Zion. David steps back. Who's going to do it? Joab steps forward and says, let's sort this matter out. Let's set up your stronghold from which you can rule, and let's get the job done, okay? So please think about that. Door duty. Now, we have two doors, the main entrance and then like an entrance like this, an entrance to the lecture hall, okay? What we are going to do is have one person at the entrance as people come from the car park to receive them and welcome them. That person, when they receive the visitors, are going to give them the card, the welcome card. There will be pens on the desk there, and so you will ask the person to fill out the form before they come in, okay? And you will keep that form, the person standing at the door, and before you leave, give it to Renee. Because what we do administratively, the first thing, either on a Sunday evening before we sleep, or the first thing on a Monday morning, if we're a busy Sunday, is to send that person an email of welcome. Right? It must be done clockwork. It must be done excellently. Okay? Everyone say excellence. Do you think when God made the world, he did it haphazardly? Is a God a master at excellence, yes? And I'm saying if we are to be like God, let's mimic him in how we manage this corporate church. And then you're going to see he'll flood the place. You see, God always needs structure before he fills it. Once the ark was built, purpose started to take place. The rain fell and the purpose of the Lord for the earth went to the next phase. When Solomon built, and Moses and Solomon built the temple, the glory of the Lord filled that which was built. God doesn't fill anything unless the thing is built. Unless the thing is structured, then the Lord fills it. And I'm saying to you, now please listen to me very carefully, church. We are saying to the Lord, we're going to structure your house. Don't think like this, oh, we're becoming so pedantic and so particular about little things. No, you must think like this. We're becoming excellent, just like our Father who made the entirety of the universe and the earth. plan everything to the minutest detail, right? And I'm saying once you do excellent structure, God fills it with grace, okay? That's going to be the mindset, okay? The person at the door, the lecture door, will obviously receive the person again and just guide them through to where to sit. Car park duty, this will only be for conferences and special meetings where large crowds are expected, okay? And yeah, we only need 3 men. We're strategically placed, and we have already identified the points. That I will discuss with you when the occasion permits. It's that level of excellence that God appreciates. It's not shoddy. It's not haphazard. Everyone say excellence. Excellence. God is a God of excellence, okay? And I want to encourage you, be excellent at what is good. The scripture does say that, Romans 16:20, be excellent at what is good, but be innocent of evil. And then it says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Amen? The Bible says of Daniel, and there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. Excellent spirit in Daniel. Okay? I'm going to rush through because I'm taking too long. Number 4. This is the crux of the issue here. Set up and set down teams. Sunday was a bit hectic here. There was a lot of pressure before the service started. Simply because most of us who set up, usually set up, came more later to church than we usually do. And it put a lot of pressure on the setup process, and we had to start immediately. And that should not persist. So what we want to do is, listen carefully, the worship, the music team, those are singers and musicians, normally would come in early. We set a time by 8:15. Service starts at 9. By 8:15, the singers and musicians need to be here. Going forward, however, Mary has offered us the opportunity of setting up on the Saturday. Is that still subject to change? Okay. So, because it's a variable thing, here's the deal. We need a team that will help set up. Now, just stand so you know where they are. Just all the setup people stand and the music team, singers and musicians. Just stand. And those of you normally come here early in that stage. Okay. And then, okay. Just, yeah, you guys stand. Stand, Keegan. And Ian, you also here early. Now, for example, this group will be here by 8:15. Right? Okay, sit down. Now, I leave home at 7:50, 7:45 every Sunday. In the car, and I'm on my way. Okay? This team will obviously manage store setup processes, and we must all, I'm appealing to the music team, and it'll go for your spouses. So we'll be here, and it's just basically setting up the instruments, pulpit media, the banners, the communion table. The communion table is done by Audrey and Cindy most times. So I'm saying, for example, like Audrey's involved in 2 dimensions. If any one of you here wants to relieve her, for example, so she can focus perhaps in terms of setup and preparing for worship team activities. There's the media table where all my CDs and soon books will be set up. The media table must be set up and managed. When I say managed, it must be manned before and after the service just for to execute the sales of the CDs. And then there's kitchen. The kitchen will be headed by, in terms of eats and drinks, we want to have this every second week for now, like we had on Sunday. Right? Every second week. Edwin's going to give lead to that, but he obviously needs people to help him. Many people will, I want to appeal to the house. For this, everybody can get involved in terms of, you know, bringing something to the service and then afterwards helping to clean up. I think there's a cleanup thing somewhere. I don't know where it is. But look at set down. Set down is exactly the same thing. I'm just going to use Jeremy and Caroline as an example. They were here at 7:30 on Sunday. Right? So when I got in, just before that, now I don't like to see a lady or young, like Carol's a young girl, carrying heavy, lugging heavy stuff. I think it's an indictment on men that are part of the house when there should be, when we could be doing those kinds of things. They do it without complaint, obviously. They do it with the gladness of their heart. But I am saying the burden should not rest on a few. We have many of us here where the burden could be easily spread and the workload lightened and more could be done with more reward for you. Don't think like this, oh, another job I must do. Right? Think like this. I'm strengthening myself. I'm strengthening my leader. I'm creating structure. I'm creating environment for grace to flow. I am going to be all the more enriched. That is how you must think. I'm doing this as an expression of honor. And so I would like more people, if you can, sacrifice coming early to a Sunday. I want you to think of a Sunday like this. You must say, Sunday is the Lord's Day. Hallelujah. It's the Lord's Day. We used to say that before. It's the Lord's Day. You know? Right? And I want to encourage you, go to bed early on a Saturday. Don't watch movies till late. And then you're coming with another spirit. However mood that movie was, the same mood you're coming into the service. I've picked this up. And if I'm your father, the Lord, receive this as a word from God. I'm not joking. You go to bed early. You know why? We need focus on a Sunday. The minds are too absent. The year, then, everywhere. I'm not trying to say how you must live your life on a Saturday. All I'm saying to you, we're in a different season. And if you want to step up to the plate of going to the next level, I'm saying at least think and say, I can't afford to waste my time watching an inconsequential movie when I can spend the time preparing my mind, my spirit, my whole demeanor to provide strong support. And I'm not just there, for example, to fulfill a task, maybe picking up a mic or setting up a table. I'm not, you see, the apostles were not after people to serve tables. That's why they specified, full of the Holy Ghost. Good reputation, full of wisdom. That is what we want. It's not about fulfilling gaps. It's about fulfilling gaps with the right disposition of heart. Okay? I say this as your father in Christ for where we need to go forward in what God has called us to. Okay. Number six, management of the offering, that's counting, recording, and safekeeping. Usually Audrey and who else? Fiona, when she's here. Who else does it with you now? Gordon, he gets involved as well. So if you'd like to help this group, like for example, you can see Audrey is doing, she's singing, she's coming early to do table. After the service, she's counting money, right? And I'm saying, if some one of us could relieve a person like that in any one respect, guess what? Don't think like I'm relieving somebody of a task. Think like this. I'm creating structure. I'm building something for God to fill. That's how you must think, okay? And if we all do something extra, it will lighten the burden on everybody. Okay, lighten the burden on everybody. Okay. Also, would set down. I want to encourage all the men, particularly, to help, irrespective of whether you're part of the setup or set down team or not. It's just that after most people have left, there's still a group of us left here, and we leave sometimes a half an hour to 40 minutes after the last person has left. Okay, and I'm saying if everyone just helps a little bit more, it'll. You see, what we don't want to do is, while people are doing what they are doing without complaint and doing it gladly, I'm saying if we are family, if that was your biological son doing that, you would step up to the plate. We would do it for biological family. But let me just say this. This family is your real family. This family is your spiritual family. Not so? Amen. Music team, the music team is just the basically old. I use the term music team. I don't like the term worship team. It's basically the singers and the musicians. We'll be at 8:15 to create the environment musically. Media teams, I'm going to refer to that in a moment. Go to hospitality. I think Edwin's leading this. Yeah. A coordination of Eids for fellowship times after service, reception and attending, visiting speakers, pastors, etc. For example, if I get a guest in, we need a group of people that will receive him from the time his car enters that gate or and into the car park until the time he says bye-bye to us and he's on his way. We've got to treat the servants of the Lord with the highest degree of honor and respect, okay? So if you'd like to be part of those protocols, please just see Renee in reference to those things, okay? Please do that. Announcements. Renee normally does announcements, but she'll get a few people to help her with that. Cleanup. Everybody must say, fill the gaps. Fill the gaps, okay? Fill the gaps. And I want to encourage you. Let me just say this. Everyone look at me. We are a family. Tell someone we are family. I saw Anne vacuuming there around a group of young people. And for me, I'm thinking, I said, my gosh, what does basic courtesy do? Basic courtesy says, no, you can't, let us. Everyone say, use initiative. This is not a church meeting, by the way, brethren. It's a family meeting. Putting some things right in the house. Everyone say, mutual honor and respect. You mustn't say, I'm coming to this house to ride the wave without any cost to myself. You must come with the mindset, I'm going to wash hands. I'm going to do my bit. Okay? If ever, from this time going onwards, there's a new family or person visiting this house, it is illegal for that person to ever be alone while they're in the midst of us. Let me just say this to you. We've had many people come in for a week or two, some of them we haven't seen yet. And I'm saying, maybe, just maybe, it was... Many people speak about our culture of love. But I'm saying we could take it to the next level, okay? So, Lily, you heard the principle, eh? It's illegal for any newcomer to be alone. Hallelujah. Decor will only be for... like a special conference where we'll like beautify the place up, etc. By the way, we have access to this facility for conferences, like a 2 or 3 day thing. In seasons when the university is not having lectures, like in their holiday program, etc. Mary said this venue is not that much used, so we're going to be planning some major things for next year. Amen? It's going to be a great year. The new people, visitors, that's exactly what I said to you now. Transport. Please, we don't have church transport. But if you're living in an area where you can help with people and your vehicle permits that, please be willing to give people lifts to the venue. House church, we're going to have one a month from next year. And I'll talk more to that when we start the program. Children's ministry has kicked off with a bang. All the children are very excited, okay? There was a buzz here. And so right now, there's just 3 people involved. They had a meeting last night. It's Renee, Moira and Anne, and Carol. Sorry, where's Carol? So it's just one person per week. But if you'd like to help with that, then please get involved with that. I have to give my heart and soul to the kids' ministry. I deemed it so important. So this is going to be a very important ministry. It mustn't be a side issue. If those that are devoted to it must give it thorough thought. And I want to thank those that have come on board. If anybody else wants to come on board, then by all means. Youth ministry, I'll be becoming more directly involved in youth ministry based upon a prophetic word that Pastor Sean Blucknoot gave me. I'm going to work with the committee, which is Sean, Fiona, Jeremy, Carol, Jody, who else? Joash, who else? Okay. I'll be working with them, and we're going to, every second Friday, have very, very full and focused youth. In fact, I saw today on Word of Faith Christian Ministries, John 8 in Valcom, they are launching an apostolic youth Bible program. So I saw it on their Facebook page today. I phoned him immediately. I said, what is this? Whole curriculum out? And he says, well, you know, we bruise. Send it to me. And he emailed me. I was taken aback. And they're starting in mid-January next year, every Friday evening, a set of I'm going to adopt some aspects of it, sort of key issues facing young people, but it's like an apostolic Bible school that runs from then until 3/4 way of the year, and then they finish. So the youth, we're going to be in for a very good time. Okay. The young adults also will be once a quarter. Renee and I will get directly involved there. Men's and ladies also once a quarter. Senior citizens, that's the older folk, once a quarter. You know what we do? We go out to the breakfast on the beachfront. And we'll do our thing there. Okay. Marriage seminars, we decided only one a year. A big one. It's going to be a very big one. At a classy venue. Have a major marriage seminar next year. Open it up to the church in Durban. And then conferencing will be announced as we go along. Okay, I'm going to take the next 10 minutes. I only got 10 minutes left. Look at the next area, media focus. Now, this particular, the next two pages, I did send this out in a WhatsApp message to you, I think about a year ago, and I battled to find the original document, and I searched high and low on my PC, and praise God I found it. Or else I would have to think about these things and tie them up again. But listen carefully. Going forward, listen carefully. Everyone say media. Media is going to be a more prominent feature in the ministry, okay? Because it's a tool that God has given us to use effectively for His glory. But we're not harnessing the full potential of media and what it affords for us. So what we're going to have, you can see five teams there. Look at the first one. Look at the bolder headings. Media creation. Now, media creation will be creation of digital posters, that's stills and videos, for all church events, special meetings, and conferencing. Creation of posters with short statements drawn from my sermons on teachings, and then short nuggets, etc. But I don't want to go to the details here because of time. And then the creation of media announcements for Sunday morning. Luke, you're listening. For Sunday morning services, okay? And all I'm saying this, if you want, you think you could be useful here, please come and see me or Jeremy. You feel you can play a role here, please come and see us, okay? I was amazed. I sent you those three posters that TTN did based on my message on forgiveness today. So I preached, got home. I woke up Monday morning, and that first poster was on their Facebook church page. The next one came out the Tuesday. The next one came out the Wednesday. What is TTN successfully doing? Right now, all the posters that I send you with my signature at the bottom, randolphbarnwell.com, I do that, most of it, 95% of it. I'm not a graphic artist. I do my she's a thing on the side. I use PowerPoint and I work my way, work my miracles, and out comes the product. But it's nowhere near what in terms of standards of art, where it should be. And I'm saying needs to go to the next level. Also, it's time-consuming to do that. Think of ideas, how are we going to work this, etc. Remember when Quinton preached? There was, if I can find it, I don't think I'll be able to, is this mine here? Let me not change this because I may lose something here. But when Quinton preached, Andy did a poster, something about sonship, what the Holy Spirit hasn't called us to, showmanship but to sonship. And in the background was a guy with a guitar looking at the sun. Right? So what I do is I advertise all Sunday morning sermons by the Monday or the Tuesday. And so I did it, and I broadcasted it. That post, I was trying to, I don't want to change this, to see, got the most likes of that kind of thing that we do every week, right? But guess what? I was a bit full in terms of busyness. Guess what? I did not have to do a poster. Hallelujah. A poster was done by somebody. I just grabbed it, and I used it to broadcast the message to the rest of the world. So if you have a poster anointing, graphic artist, OG, well, OG is not here this evening. Liam is just too busy, my son. His work is excessively demanding, long hours. I squeeze in little bits and pieces from, he's doing one for me tonight, you'll see it tomorrow on your WhatsApp. But if you're that way inclined and if you want to aid there, then please. Then media publicity team, this is what I'm after. Is I'm going to demonstrate it now, is how to use social media to broadcast and publicize the ministry, listen, the ministry, the truths we stand for, and our Sunday morning services and special conferences. Now, you've got to use social media very wisely. I'll illustrate that in a moment. Then we are buying a very good camera on the next page, a videography team. If you have any set of skills with using a video camera, please see Jeremy. Right? And we want to develop this to a place of excellence. Okay? Our Sunday morning services will be live streamed. Is it ready for Sunday? Are we not going to try? Maybe. In 2 or 3 weeks, we're in a live stream. Live stream is live stream. I have to be more, and I want to speak to those that minister. I have to be more careful about what I say now. Even a little joke that might not be understood by the world, you might understand it in context. But be very, very careful, because now it's going global. Everyone say the word spreading to more and more people. Always keep that. What? Why do we do the things we are doing? Why am I saying come and help with practical things? My thing is the word must spread to more and more people everywhere. Okay? I don't want to go to the details. I'll demonstrate something that will take about 5 minutes. A photography team, please, please hear my heart. You know me. We're not showy people. We don't want to show off what we have. We're not prideful to say that, see what we're doing in our ministry compared to others. But listen carefully. Growth demands visibility. People cannot come to what they don't know about. It's not about wanting to be seen for any other reason, but to create a context or structure that people can come to. Do you know how I ended up at Pastor Thamo's first apostolic school I went to in 2002? At Tryson Towers. I came across an advert he did, an A5 advert, on my desk at school in a staff room. How on earth that got there? I don't know, but guess what? A paper has led me to where I am now. If someone did not advertise and leave it in interfellowship staff room, I don't know how it got there. Today, I don't know how it got there. Thank you, wherever you are, that left the paper there. Because now you led me to my Father. An advert did that. Social media affords you the capacity to broadcast. You never know who you are bringing to the place. Your next husband, Jules, might just be part of this. Not your next husband, your first one. Well, I'm going to say your next husband, like you've had one before. Your first and last one. Everard's present job was because I invited Tin Scutsia to a Thanksgiving service at Inner Chamber, at Eternal Sound. I invited a couple to a meeting. The man's presence, he's got his present job. You never know who you are bringing to. I'm not saying bring people because you're going to see what doors are opening now. No, don't think like that. You just do what you need to do, and you never know what lies in front of you. Listen, you can read the rest, but I want to go to the last page. How to use social media. Okay? Now, I really want to, this for me is my passion. Most of you know I'm an active social media person, right? I'm trying to lessen my social media time. I need your help with basic things. Firstly, number one, like and follow. Everyone say like and follow. But I think now the Facebook facility, if you like it, you follow it automatically. You don't like and follow, you like, you follow. My ministry page. I have two profiles on Facebook. A personal Facebook account and a ministry account. My personal account is simply Randolph Barnwell. My ministry account is called, as it states there, Randolph Barnwell Ministry Page. Okay? Secondly, you must then also like and follow Gate Ministries. Now, here's our ministry page. This is what it looks like, for those of you that haven't seen it. Pointing to the screen. That's the profile pic. This is the cover page, Great Ministries. This was the last post I put on the principle of forgiveness. I put the bunch of pictures that we did there on Sunday. Okay? How are you featuring? etc. Right? Bruce's video has been there for a while, that one he sang. Right? 320 people saw this. My point is, 320 people saw something that happened in our ministry. People are oblivious to the power of this tool. Life has gotten so easy. This was my last post yesterday, I think, or this morning, early this morning, 18 hours ago. I couldn't sleep last night, so I decided to pray and spend time with the Lord. And just before I slept, I went on desiringgod.org's Facebook page, John Piper's page, and I saw Francis Chan's note. It really blessed me. That's why I shared it with you, right? And I just copied his, and I just found this picture and I put it up there. Now watch. Follow with me on here. I want to encourage you. So when you get to the page, you must like it. You can see there, I've liked it because I've created the page, obviously. Right? And I'm also following. You can see there and there, I'm liked and I'm following the page. This means I, as the owner of the page, if ever I post something on the page, on your wall it will come up. On your wall, not your wall, your newsfeed. Sorry, it's inaccurately stated there. On your newsfeed, it will come up, right? Right? In your newsfeed, it will appear. I must correct that on this page. What besides liking and following? So you must like and follow Randolph Ministry. Like the ministry. What it does, listen carefully. Your liking and following gives you information on your newsfeed. But if I post something to either the church group or my ministry page and you like, comment, and or share, it is transferred to your wall. It will be there for other people to see. Now, this is what I want to appeal to the house. Start to like, I call it engaging a post. When you engage a post, you do one of three things. You like it, you comment on it, like a simple amen or true. A simple word like that, it'll take like 2 seconds, amen, or wonderful. The entirety of your friends will get to know about it just because you've done that. Let's say I asked Luke to do, I gave him some work that took about an hour today, this morning, because his exams are over and I must work for the kingdom. Right? I said, go to everyone's profile page on the entire church, anyone that has a Facebook account. Tell me how many friends they all have. You know, collectively, we have 32,000, 35,000 friends amongst us here. Those of us with Facebook accounts. Take away the mutual friends. Let's say take away 5,000 for mutuality. We have about 30,000 people we all can reach. Let's say I have a conference. Let's say I have a conference, like the leadership development conference we had. Let's say I put that up on Facebook, on my ministry page, and on Gate Ministries. And if we all, the 100 of us or so that have Facebook accounts, if we just say, like, do three things, you must please remember it. Like, comment, share. You did just those three. Guess what? Guess what? 30,000 people get to know of your event. Before, we used to go and put placards on street poles in Austerville Drive. I remember advertising Neville Goldman's meetings he had in the youth. I remember a whole day, group of us banging. And I'm saying, it can be done now in 5 seconds. We don't realize the power of this thing. 30,000 is 30,000, brethren. 30,000 people can get, and that's not just for an event. It could be like for a post, like this forgiveness post. This post went viral. Not so much on the Gate Ministries page. It went viral on my personal page. And I got so many inbox messages saying, wow, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just what we needed. Okay? Now, the big thing. Everyone say the big thing. The big thing I want to encourage you. Please, don't worry. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Right? You're still going to like me after this, right? 5 minutes. Okay? Number four at the bottom is what I would really like for you to do. Something I really want to ask the house to do is point four. The best possible support you can provide, apart from the above, after you personally have liked, followed the page, is to actually invite your Facebook friends to like the page. Now, let me tell you what I did. I was so impressed by Dr. Ben Setter. We got back Sunday evening. I personally went to their page. It's TTN. That's Dr. Ben there, TTN, Touch the Nations Ministries. Look here where the arrow is. Can you see here? 3,812 people like this page, right? Last week, Sunday, it was just under 3,400. What happened in 1 week that the number of likes on a church Facebook page went up by 400. Guess what? All I did, it won't take you, it took me 5 seconds. I did it twice, and this is what I did. All you do, brethren, you invite your friends to like it. All you do is, you can do it in two ways. By the way, there's graphs there at the back for you, for those of you who are technologically challenged. Okay. All you do, let's say you're on a page. Search for it, get to the page. You like it yourself. You can see they liked. I've liked, and I'm following this page, I think, for a few years now. So anything that TTN posts, guess what? It comes on my newsfeed. I'm aware of what they're doing, what they're up to, right? All you do is one of two. You see this bar here? Yeah? Go to the three dots, click it, go down, click invite friends, right? I don't know what's mine. This is Jeremy's account, right? So Jeremy's going to cause all, look at how many likes do we have right now on Gate Ministries? 3,000. Ben Kleinhans was on 3,400 last week, Sunday. I went and I did this, took me 5 seconds. One day I did it, the next day again, 5 seconds. The number of people, 400 new people like his page. Guess what? 400 people now will be more aware of what he's doing. Right? Our Facebook page, ministry page, Gate Ministries, was 2,700 2 days ago. What happened that it's now? 3,000. Renee did the same to my page, to this page. All she did was invited her friends to like it. And now, for example, if we're having a conference the first week in January next year, those 300 people are aware of it. Right? It's easy. Two ways. Go to the three dots there, or you can just go down to the side here. Okay, let me do it the way I know. Go to the three dots, invite friends, right? Okay. You'll invite friends. Listen, so you go to the three dots, invite friends. Then you say, invite all. Then you say, send invites. All your friends will get invites liking the page. And they can respond to it or not. And I'm saying if 100 people do the same, Pastor Thamo's personal Facebook page is on 10,000 likes. Right? He's just crossed the 10,000 threshold. If Pastor Thamo puts a notification, guess what? 10,000 people get notified. While you are at it, listen carefully, can I ask you to support Gate Ministry Santon with the same activity and Pastor Thamo and I do with the same activity? There are four pages you must love very much. Randolph Barnwell Ministry, Gate Ministries Durban Central, Thamo Naidu, Gate Santon. Right? Every now and then, when you're feeling bored, you're scrolling, just call it up. Just do this. It'll take you 5 seconds. Carry on with what you're doing. Right? But you'll be building the kingdom. You'll be building the kingdom. Okay? And so, this is Gate Ministries Santon. You see, Gate Ministries Santon is on 2-7. I mean, you're excited about this? It's a good tool, eh? Easy. Even if you're going to go on Facebook once a month, give me 5 seconds, brethren. Make it happen. And let's go to the next level in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at the picture there. I put it in. But a brainwave. Remember the picture of the cargo ship? Thanks, Peter. That's what we are in the Spirit. We're going to use every platform to take resource to the nations of the earth and bless them with grace. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. I know it's a lot to digest, and I know I've been talking, but I think this meeting was very, very necessary. So I want to thank you for coming out and for receiving this talk so that we can go ahead to the degree that God wants us to. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We bless you that you are God and our Father. Our singular passion is to do your will and to effect your purposes in the earth. We ask, O God, that the structure we create, that you would fill it. The levels of excellence by which we function, that you would fill it, Father. This is for your glory that more and more people will receive grace. We are cargo ships in the Spirit as you've prophetically decreed to us. Everyone just lift your hands. Father, we lift our hands to you. We are here. There's so many other things we could be doing on a Tuesday evening, but we are here. We say, use us. use this little flock for great things. We ask that great grace will attend every single one of us as we work tirelessly. Our meat, like your son said, our food is to do the will of him that has sent us and to finish the work. Help us to finish the work. Help us to finish strong. I pray the number of disciples will increase, but that also the word of the Lord will spread and grow and multiply in ways, O God, that will literally astound us. We have no other agenda, no other desire than to do your will. So we ask that you would grace us, help us. I ask, O God, that every single family will know the grace of Christ and that there will come such a tenacity, an indomitability, an immovability, a firmness, a sturdiness in our pursuit in doing your will, that nothing will faze us. Nothing gives us more greater joy than to do your will. So we commend ourselves to your grace, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would be with us and go ahead before us in the way that you would lead us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.